This is Chapel on January 19th, 1984. Speaking is Reverend Helen Crowell, pastor of Wake Forest United Methodist Church.
Thank you. nature is praising you today, O God. We too lift our hearts and voices in praise and thanksgiving to our Maker. Let this time of worship be exalting to our spirit as we look up to the exalted God who loves us. We see your hand in the long sweep of history. Help us to serve the purposes you are trying to work in our lifetime. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, we try to understand your plan. Help us to understand and to serve. It is your will that we should love you and love eternal truth more than prestige or pleasure in this world. Bring us to a renewed devotion of the eternal spirit, we pray. It gives me a great deal of personal pleasure today to present to you our speaker. Since June 1983, Helen Crotwell has served as pastor of the Wake Forest United Methodist Church, coming here from the pastorate of a church over in Granville County. Prior to that, she served in campus ministry at Winthrop College and was associate minister to Duke University. Helen is a fine addition to our community, and I'm proud to call her friend. She will come in a few minutes to lead us in worship. May we now turn our attention to God's Word. The Old Testament lesson is found in Genesis, the New Testament in Matthew. Hear the reading of these accounts of escape into Egypt. The first occurs after the 7 years of plenty, during the 7 years of famine, when all the earth was going to Egypt to buy grain. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die." The second, Jacob going to Egypt himself. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here am I." Then he said, "I am God, the God of your father, Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make there of you a great nation. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again. And Joseph's hand shall close your eyes. And then from the New Testament, after the visit of the wise men to the baby Jesus. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there till I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we praise you today, this very moment, for the gift of life and love. As you have given us life, may we give back to you in service our very lives. As you have given us love, demonstrated by the greatest gift, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, may we love you supremely and love others, the nameless world, people we don't know, but who can in many different ways be the recipients of our love. Help us also, Father, to love those about us, and sometimes this is more difficult. Give us concern for family members, for our next door neighbor, the person in the pew beside us just now, the student who may be very different from us, the church member who does not respond the way we wish. And help us, Father, to love by the very ways we act when we are outside this place of worship. So easy to feel your presence and to feel love for one another in this place. But lead us to translate these feelings into action in class, in the grocery store, at work, at home. And Lord, make us willing to go into our Egypt with your guidance, and then bring us out into the place of service and the attitude of service in which you would have us. In your name we pray. Amen.
In the name of God, who is to us as mother and father and friend. Amen. Egypt, the place God led Mary and Joseph to protect Jesus from Herod. Egypt, the place God gave permission for Jacob to go to escape starvation. Do you think God calls us to Egypt at any time today? What do our Egypts look like today? Now, any decision to escape to Egypt is properly suspect, especially if it's offering us an easy way out. protecting us from conflict and confrontation. Our questioning any call to Egypt is deep-seated. For we are taught not to run from conflict, not to run from confrontation. We know that one of the first words used to name Christians' response to Jesus the Christ was martyr. And yet, because these first Christians did not escape from conflict, they were persecuted, they were stoned, they suffered, even some were crucified. So that now the name martyr doesn't mean simply witness, but it means one who has witnessed Christ and has suffered because of this witness. Is it possible, though, that God could lead us at some time to go to Egypt to protect us from Herod? Now, any call from God to go to Egypt should be carefully considered and prayed over, just as you consider your call to ministry, to make sure it is God's call to us. Any call to Egypt, we need to wrestle with, just as Jesus wrestled with those three temptations during that 40 days in the wilderness, to make sure it is God's will we are doing. You know the sort of wrestling we have to do to make sure we are not escaping from God's call. It's the sort of thing those of you who are students and serving a local church face every day. You have a good way out, don't you? For if you're not doing well in school, you can say, well, you know, I've got this local church that takes all my time. Okay, suppose you're messing up in your local church. You can say, well, you know, I've got this school that takes all my time. Now, it's a tough situation to be in, to be student and pastor. But now your primary responsibility is to be a student, and I haven't been paid to say this. Your primary responsibility is to be a student. And there's no way you can justify sloppy work in the seminary by saying, I have responsibility to a church. But you cannot justify sloppy work in a church by saying, I have my work in the seminary. What you can do is justify limited work in a church. And any church will accept and understand. Let me talk some, just to give you an illustration of the struggle we face when we feel that we may be called to Egypt to escape Herod, but wonder if it's a call that gives us protection. There are some places, even today, some white churches, that will not let a black minister be their pastor, but even so, they will not let a black minister preach from the pulpit. Would God ever call a minister to stand up against the wishes of the congregation and invite a black in at the risk of losing the church? Would God ever call a minister to escape to Egypt and not confront the congregation, saying, if I stay, I will do more good? Have you faced such a call? One thing we know for certain is that when God calls us to go to Egypt, it's not to escape confronting the Herods of the world. It may put off the confrontation for a while, but it's calling us to prepare to confront the Herods of the world. How tragic if we are constantly running to Egypt to escape the Herods, And there are some Christians that the path from their home to Egypt is worn with no grace because they keep beating the path to Egypt, and you know what happens. They can no longer be faithful witnesses to Jesus our Christ. But it's just as tragic if we do not hear God's call to sometimes go to Egypt, to escape to Egypt, escape which is not really escape, but is a time of preparation, of nourishment, and of renewal. Dear friends, we never get too old to be called by God for preparation, nourishment, and renewal. But there are many Christians who refuse to hear God's call to go to Egypt, and you know what happens. They wear out, they burn out, they become ineffective. And it's popular now to talk about all the ministers who burn out. Some of you have already bumped into the book, Theology of the Oppressed. And you know the wonderful tension that's lifted up between reflection and action. Action cut off from reflection becomes activism and cannot change the world. But reflection cut off from action becomes verbiage and cannot change the world. It's only as the two are united that God's word is spoken and proclaimed. Those of you who are in seminary know that God has called you to Egypt, for that's where you are living now. You are in Egypt. For this is a time when you are preparing to serve in a specialized ministry. It may be a time when you're testing out if God has called you to a specialized ministry. It's a time when God is preparing you to better confront the Herods of this world. Now I want to make it absolutely clear, when I have said that you are now in Egypt, I am no way saying that your president is Pharaoh and that your professors are slave drivers. So some of you may feel like they act as slave drivers sometimes. You know, though, that here in Egypt, you are not just preparing for ministry. You are already in ministry. I give thanks for the prophetic leadership that this community gives to us, the larger community. We benefit from it, and God leads us through you. But I want to acknowledge another way in which you are already in ministry while you are preparing for ministry. Using a story that Bishop Goodson told us one time, and those of you who've heard me preach before heard this story once before, but it's worth repeating. He was in a meeting with Dr. Christian Barnard, informal, and Dr. Barnard was talking about what it felt like to be the very first person to do open heart surgery, the awe, the fear. And he told graphically of taking the knife and cutting open the chest and feeling the bones coming apart, opening up the cavity, seeing the heart beat. And then he said he lifted the heart out and held it in his hand, and he felt it beating. And he was overcome. His response was a prayer. Oh God, I have another human heart in my hand. Bishop Goodson said, that's the work Christians are in every day. That's what you're preparing for. That's what you do, as we heard so beautifully in the prayer. Whether you are here in Egypt, are you at work, are you at play? Open your heart, your minds, and your hands to receive those hearts that are given to you. Care for so gently and so caringly. May God continue to bless you who live here in Egypt as you minister and as you prepare for ministry. Amen.
Eternal God, we go forth from this place of worship more aware of our responsibility, wherever we are, to live as your children. Grant us your grace that we may include all people in our concern and in our love, remembering that Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." Amen.